And so now we'll go to House Bill 119. And I think it's 119 and 179 that has been combined.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Members of the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Members.
I hope you're all doing well this morning. You'll notice that my colleague and I are very concerned and interested in feminine hygiene products. And we both serendipitously thought of bringing this bill. And we figured it was best to combine it since it has the same goals and language. And what it does is it provides deduction from gross receipts and governmental gross receipts.
Let me ask you.
Yes.
You have a committee sub.
The committee sub should have been given to you. It's House Bill 119 and 179.
Mr. Chairman, the previous committee was combined into the committee.
It's already combined.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
So it's committee substitute for House Bill 119.
That's correct, sir.
And 179.
And 179.
Go ahead.
So what we're trying to do is just get us a tax deduction for women for feminine hygiene products. We believe that it's a necessity, obviously, that they have no control over. We believe that it's not going to be a huge impact on those people who sell it, simply because many times they will save on these products and then spend it somewhere else. But more importantly, there are a lot of women who do not have the money to actually buy feminine hygiene products, and especially young girls. And I have done an unauthorized kind of survey of young teenage girls, my granddaughter's friends, who have told me that a lot of times their friends in high school have not been able to purchase those products. They'll wear, with all due respect, one particular product for the whole day, causing a lot of problems. It's a health issue as well. There are women who that I know that just really struggle. And we believe, both my colleague and I, that this is an opportunity to change our thinking. Several states have already done this. And we believe that our time is right to go ahead and move this forward. And my co-sponsor will be happy to augment what I've said.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of your committee. I think Representative Trujillo did a good job explaining what the bill does. It's not very detailed in terms of what the changes are. It's a simple gross receipts deduction. It's really just a matter of, I think, your committee considering the fiscal impact of the budget and what you determine is best for our state of New Mexico. So, Mr. Chairman, I think with that, we can stand for questions.
Yes, you can refer to that as Trujillo number
3. Number 3, there's Los Trujillos. And
you know, we won't get into the debate about who is the chair of the Trujillo caucus here.
Out in the audience, anyone here in favor of this bill on the left side? Anybody on the right side in favor of this bill? Yes.
My pleasure, the powers of my peers. We stand to support.
Thank you. Anyone opposing the bill on this side? Anyone on this side? Then there's none, so we'll go to the committee.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Good morning, representatives, and thank you for, number one, bringing this bill, but also working together and I guess making the process a little easier. Instead of addressing two bills, we'll address one. I just want to commend the two of you for bringing this forward. I think that it's a targeted proposal for products that, you know, it's are a necessity, right? It does have a fiscal impact, so just to explain the process of the committee, bills with fiscal impacts, we do a temporary table until we have our budget toward, you know, toward the end of the session in terms of what the capacity will be for tax credits, deductions, exemptions, that sort of thing. But I can't speak highly enough of this proposal. You got a reporting requirement. I mean, everything's in place. It's just a shame that it's taken this long, I guess. But thank you both for bringing this forward, and you know, I look forward to working on this with you over the next few weeks. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Harper.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning. It's good to see you both here. Welcome.
And together.
Right? right? So I just wanted to maybe take a moment to just kind of talk about policy, tax policy in general. And I see Secretary McCamley giggling over there because he knows exactly where I'm going. So our gross receipts tax is the largest portion of our general fund revenue, right? When you look at income tax and other taxes, gross receipts is the highest. And actually, when you look at our state compared to other states, it's disproportionately a little high. We overly rely on our gross receipts tax. And that said, when you look at our tax expenditure report, which, you know, the Tax and Revenue Department puts this out every year, this is great midnight reading. And, you know, we have, when you include all of our tax programs, we have over 300 different exemptions, deductions, and credits to our tax code. And, you know, some of those are good. You know, they define the base, but a lot of them are, you know, favoring one business over other, where we're picking winners and losers, or these kinds of things. And the problem is, we have this tax code now in New Mexico that looks like a block of Swiss cheese, where we've narrowed our base. And when you look at the entire base, we could, in effect, have roughly half the sales tax rate, the gross receipts tax rate that we have now. I mean, that's huge. You think about, you know, the average is roughly 8% across the state now. If we taxed everything, we could cut that in half. And so, you know, principles of good tax policy are that you have a broad base and a low rate, and that you don't, you know, look for, you know, you don't regard different items differently. And the FIR actually has a good quote in here. I just wanted to bring your attention to this. It's on page 3. It's kind of in the middle here. The Tax Foundation is kind of a middle, maybe slightly right-leaning think tank on tax policy. ITEP is your far left one. You know, ALEC is your far right one. But yeah, Tax Foundation is generally regarded as pretty middle of the road. So it points out here that exempting feminine hygiene products is part of a broader trend of shrinking state sales tax bases. Smaller sales tax bases lead to a higher overall sales tax rate, and an ideal sales tax should apply to all final consumer purchases without regard to whether the items are classified as necessities or luxuries. This allows for lower rates, a broad base that doesn't distort preferences, right? Neutrality is one of our important principles of the tax code, or production across items or services and does not favor one type of consumption over another. So that's good, but also another one that is really important is our instability of our revenues here. And we've seen this, you know, it's been these last several years, the instability of our gross receipts tax revenue. When we start putting more holes in the Swiss cheese, that compounds it. So that, in general, that's why we try to look very skeptically at any tax credit that comes before us. So then, Mr. Chairman and Representatives, going to the particular bill in front of us, I don't think any of us would argue that, you know, this is a necessity of life and a product that, you know, is needed. But when we start then looking through that lens of, well, we shouldn't tax things that are necessities of life, right? Well, I can make a good argument for just about everything being a necessity of life. I mean, we should then not tax water. We should then not tax electricity, trash collection. And if you look at our gross receipts tax, utilities are a huge portion of that. And it's a good thing it's in there because it helps stabilize the base, right? And when you have an economy the size of New Mexico's, we can't, you know, we've only got 2 million people here. We can't decide, well, we're not going to tax this huge sector of our economy because then the taxes go up on everything else. So I just worry that we're, you know, I think it was a mistake for us to take the tax off of food. That was just a big shell game. It didn't save anyone taxes. And if we start going down this path of not taxing necessities, what will be left in our tax base? How will we pay for roads and police and teachers and schools? So those are just some of my thoughts, but Mr. Chairman and Representatives, if you have anything you'd like to respond to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Harper. I knew the Swiss cheese conversation was going to come up, Mr. Chairman and members of your committee. And to your point, Representative Harper, I know that you've worked extremely hard on trying to get the conversation started about reforming New Mexico's tax policy. And I think that's a worthy conversation to have. And I totally see that the argument from that perspective as well, Mr. Chairman. This bill adds to that the holes in the block of cheese, Mr. Chairman. I understand that. So,
thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, recognizing that, I still feel that we are punishing women and females for something they have no control over. And I believe that regardless of the Swiss cheese, they should be given a reprieve on a tax on what I believe is a necessity and not a luxury.
So Chairman and Representative, I appreciate that. I think it's a stretch to say we're punishing women. I don't think that's true at all. I think a fair tax code taxes everyone equally. And again, if we start saying we should only tax luxuries, well, what's left? Boats?
Yes.
So we should have a 3,000% tax on boats to maintain our current tax revenue, and no one in New Mexico will buy a boat, and we'll have no money to pay for schools. Because I could argue that a car is a necessity in New Mexico. And so we should get rid of motor vehicle excise tax. We should get rid of the gasoline tax. I believe we should tax everything. And I'm a Republican saying that, right? We should tax everything. And we should tax it, and that will let us tax it at a low rate and still generate the money we need for revenue for our schools. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Herrera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representatives. You know, one of the joys of being an older woman is not having to worry about On that note, I would like to say that I can't imagine young women keeping their receipts and deducting it. And can you explain this process,
Mr. Chairman and Representative Herrera? The language. So I can see where you read that, but what this does is it's at the retail site. So basically, the retailer would not charge you tax, and then would have to report that to the state that they're not charging that tax. Does that make sense, Mr. Chairman? It's not saving.
It's still a burden on somebody, and it's a cost on somebody. And if they have to do that, that's a cost on retail too. And I look more and more about our revenue stream going down in this committee, and I am constantly worried about that revenue stream going down because we don't have enough to cover the expenses of this state, you guys. And it's just kind of cha-ching, cha-ching around here, and it just keeps going down. So. I keep looking for these bills that say, here's what we're going to generate in additional operating expenses. So that's what I'm looking for. I got to tell you, and, every piece of me would say make it easier for young women. I'm just looking at the overall consequences for our state, so I have to tell you that. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Akil.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, thanks for bringing this important issue in front of us. But I want to start off by saying I feel a little bit of gender discrimination here, because there are some other products that men might use which might also want to apply for this rebate. So without going into that detail, I do want to echo Representative Harper's concerns and Representative Herrera's concerns. I think we are chipping away at the taxes. What I feel is, and I asked around, unfortunately nobody knows what the box of tampon costs, but I'm assuming if it costs about $8, the tax is only 62 cents. So a young lady or lady who's purchasing a box would worry more about the total cost of the package rather than the 62 cents tax on it. So I don't know if it's worth chipping away on our tax base for a 62 cent tax, because if that were the concern, then I would rather that social organizations work in bringing the cost of the tampons down. You could work with faith organizations, you could work with social service organizations to maybe distribute box of tampons free to low-income women, rather than chipping away at our tax base, because I certainly don't see the value of removing such a small tax, and because the overall impact is like $1 million. Okay, that's all my comments are. Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Akil, I got a lot of email from high schools and mid schools, the school counselors and folks who deal with young teenage girls. I got input from several advocacy groups that told me that they are, you know, also at a point where when they run out, I mean, they also deal with donations, because where do they get their money, right? And usually it's donated from someone. And to me, I think the health of the teenager that is struggling, they're shy, a lot of them, they're embarrassed, and they have no access to this. Wearing a tampon for a long period of time is a health issue. And so they are struggling. I know it sounds really easy to say that a faith organization or the school will purchase the item, but in reality, that's really a struggle for those entities. And for girls who are afraid to ask, it's a health issue.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, so your point is a good one, but just removing the tax does not take away the shyness of the person asking for the product, which is what I'm getting to. So I think there's a bigger issue here with the overall social norm, if you will, and the price of the product rather than the small tax that's charged on it. That's what I'm getting to.
I understand, but Mr. Chairman, without being argumentative, if the student knows that the school has the product, that's the issue, they have them available. So the student doesn't have to ask the counselor. They know that they're available and they can go. So the shyness isn't so much the issue as the fact that they're available.
All right. Thank you, Ms.
Thank you. Representative Maestas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank the committee members who preceded me so that I don't have to say what they just said. But I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Trujillo, Representative Baldonado, because I recall when this conversation may have came about when we were at the women's facility in Springer, the state pen in Springer, and the inmates, one of their complaints they brought to us was that they had to pay for needed, you know, products, that they got a limited amount, and anything in excess of that they had to pay. And we were kind of shocked as a committee that the government wasn't, you know, if you're going to put somebody in prison, you got to pay for those necessities. So I want to thank you for raising the consciousness of these issues that some of us wouldn't know about, particularly with teenagers and where do they get the money and stuff like that. Because it is a I suppose there's necessities, but this is like an absolute necessity. Do you think, Mr. Speaker, Gentlelady, Representative Baldonado, that if the GRT were to be removed, that these products' prices would creep up a tiny bit?
I haven't given that any thought. Do you?
Mr. Chairman and Representative, maybe I'll use an analogy. I hope it's not unpopular, but, you know, in Native American gas stations don't have to charge that gas tax, but they're not as cheap. Their price isn't typically 18 cents a gallon cheaper than the retail. So I think maybe your point is accurate.
And then I think I was a, Mr. Chairman, I was a HIV/AIDS educator back in the day when I was a young man, and and the condom industry provided like massive free condoms to high schools and various places as a marketing tool. So obviously these products, that was kind of a new phenomena from society standpoint, but I don't know how these companies market their products or whatnot, but hopefully they'll see it in their interest to disseminate products so that they can get brand loyalty from consumers or whatnot. But I oppose the tax giveaway for the I think it was the day after Thanksgiving. And I think that all of these ideas are great ideas, and they make sense, and it's good public policy. But over the course of 30 years, when you have 200 of these good ideas in our tax code, it's problematic. I think that if we adequately funded constitutional state government and the economy started moving again, that would alleviate tremendous stress that your bill tries to alleviate as well. So I think it's a great idea. I think I'm glad for you to bring it forward, but if it doesn't come to fruition, those are some of the reasons why. Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Seeing none, what are the wishes of the committee? I have a motion to temporary table the bill, and the reason we're doing that, I think, Representative Martinez explained it to you. We don't have a budget as to how much we're going to spend in expenditures yet, because we don't have the revenue predictions yet. So what we're going to do is temporary table, and then once we know how much money we have to spend on expenditures, we will compile a list, and the committee will vote on who gets funded. If there's not enough money, if there's too much money, everybody will get funded.
We do that in appropriations, Mr. Chairman.
So I have a motion to temporary table. Is there a second to it? Second by Representative Gill. Is there any objections to the motion? Seeing none, your bill has been temporarily tabled.
Thank you so much for considering us.